Now let all who have gathered in beloved community, whether in virtual space or in person, join our spirits together in worship.
Good morning. Whether you are joining us online or here in the sanctuary, welcome to First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. We are a spiritual community dedicated to a free and responsible search for truth, meaning, and beauty. I am the Reverend Michelle LeGrave, the co-lead interim minister. I am a middle-aged woman with super short hair, wearing a beautiful sunrise stole, and my pronouns are she, her. It is such a joy to be with all of you today. And I especially want to welcome you if you are new to this congregation. If you are joining us remotely, and if you can, please say hello in the comments and let us know from where you are viewing the worship service. If you are here in person, please join us for the social hour after the service. Either way, we invite you to fill out our online visitor form at austinuu.org. We would love to get to know you better. Whoever you are, wherever you come from, wherever you find yourself on your life's journey, whichever your pronouns, whatever your abilities or disabilities, whether you've walked in or rolled in or tuned in, whomever you love, you are welcome here. You belong here. We come from a long tradition of seeing a spark of the divine in every person. It is in this tradition, this living tradition, that I invite you to greet the holy among us, either in the comments or by turning to those around you.
Please join me in our words for lighting the chalice. This is the flame we hold in our hearts as we strive for justice for everyone. This is the light we shine upon systems of oppression until they are no more. This is the warmth we share with one another as our struggle becomes our salvation.
On this joyous day, enter into this sanctuary with an alleluia in your heart and a hosanna on your lips. For though we know not what tomorrow or even today will bring, we know that we have each other, and that makes us rich in spirit. So let us rejoice and be glad. Our hearts beat as one community. We share a great joy and a great love. Hallelujah and amen.
One of the things that binds First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin together as a religious community is that this congregation has a common religious purpose. For First UU Church of Austin, that common purpose is our mission. The congregation wrote it together, we put it on our wall in the sanctuary, and every Sunday church participants say it together so that we might more readily carry it in our hearts throughout the week. Let's say it together now. Together, we nourish souls, transform lives, and do justice to build the beloved community.
Our reading this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 16, 1 through 8, also known as the short ending of Mark. And it comes from the NRSV-UE, the Newly Revised Standard Version, updated edition. Revised multiple times over. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
This is the time in our service when we center ourselves together. We breathe together. Breathing in, breathing out, we sense one another's loving presence even across virtual space. And breathing together, we follow our breath to a deeper place inside, a place of greater wisdom, a place of renewal and rebirth, that place where a spark of the divine resides within each of us. Breathing together, we enter into a time of sacred quiet, all the while remembering that we also hold sacred human sounds, including those of small children. Breathing in, breathing out, we now enter the sacred silence together. I invite you now to light a candle if you are so moved. Candles representing sorrow, joy, hope, remembrance, resilience. Whatever it is you need to honor during this time. As we light candles, I invite you to keep in your mind and heart members of our community who are ill or in sorrow, and those who are celebrating joys. Today, we celebrate great joy with Amy Bennett, who has completed her chemotherapy and her radiation therapy. Now let us enter into this meditative time of lighting candles, and when the music comes to an end, hold the meditative silence together. It is so good to be back with you all on this Easter Sunday. In the Christian religious tradition, a major theme during the Easter holidays is death and resurrection. As most of you know, my spouse Wayne entered home hospice care about 3 weeks ago. So I've been thinking about this theme a lot. By the way, Wayne is fine with me sharing our journey with you. And what rises up for me within the story of the death and resurrection of Jesus in the Christian Gospels is that we can find a larger theme about faith rooted in a love powerful enough to embrace uncertainty and unknowing. And of course, death may be our greatest unknowing. Within the time between Jesus' death and when he rises again, the Gospels tell of a great unknowing. Those days contain so much uncertainty. Has the promised Messiah really been vanquished? What are his disciples and followers to believe now? What will become of the movement for justice and love he had begun? And then additionally, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all tell the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection differently. As far as the resurrection goes, among the many differences between the Gospels are which of the women first arrived at the tomb of Jesus, whether or not they experienced a violent earthquake along the way, and how and to whom we experience Jesus reappearing after he has risen from the tomb. And these are just a few of the differences. I think that these variances between the Gospels also create a sense of uncertainty, require a faith in the metaphorical messages that they all present about a divine love that lasts forever and focuses especially upon the disenfranchised and the downtrodden. But perhaps we find this theme of uncertainty most in the Gospel of Mark. As you heard in our reading earlier, the original version of Mark ended without a scene in which Jesus reappeared at all. Instead, a mysterious young man in white robes, presumably an angel, tells the women who have come to the tomb to anoint Jesus that he has risen, and that they are to tell his disciples that he will meet them in Galilee. But they are terrified and flee the tomb, saying nothing to anyone. Now, apparently, that original version of Mark got terrible reviews. And I understand that Jesus was extremely miffed about not getting to make his final appearance. So, later biblical scribes added not one, but two happy endings in which Jesus does reappear several times to many different people and then ascends to the right hand of God, and they all live happily ever after, proclaiming the good news. Personally, I like the original version of Mark better, because it is filled with uncertainty and unknowing, just as life is. Those of you who saw my message to the congregation earlier this week know how much uncertainty Wayne and I are living with on a day-to-day basis. This church has shown such resilience through so much uncertainty, from surviving the stay-at-home days of the pandemic to the retirement of a much-loved minister due to serious health issues, to a time of much transition and unknowing between called ministers. And now this. with me and mine. And yet, I think the real message we can find in the original Mark and in the broader themes of Easter is about how love not only sustains us through uncertainty and loss, it can help us find new life and new creative possibilities out of the unknowing. I think this is the true essence of having faith. The very word faith implies uncertainty. In fact, I believe that faith without uncertainty becomes dogma and fundamentalism. True faith is when, even out of our state of unknowing, we invest ourselves in trusting that love survives all, continuously giving rise to rebirth and renewal. When we engage in a great love like Wayne and I have for almost 34 years, a great love for all humanity and all that is, or a love for an art or music, or a love for searching out new discoveries in physics or computer sciences, or the endless mysteries of consciousness and the human mind, or perhaps some combination of many or all of these and more. When we build a love as great as this, we have already created the resurrection. Happy Easter, my beloveds. Together, may love lead us to rebirth and renewal time and time again.
So back in the day, and I love that I get to say this now, which was about 17 years ago, I was in seminary going through a process that we call ministerial formation. That means that I was growing into a minister, and there were a lot of people involved in helping me to grow, especially a lot of professors and ministers and even some psychologists, as well as other seminarians. Back then, we had to pass through two committees to become a UU minister, to get fellowshipped. That meant going before a group of about eight or so people and getting questioned on a variety of things. Have you all ever sat there and had eight adults question you about something? It's a lot. The first committee was called the Regional Subcommittee, and that one happened early in our formation. Once we passed through the Regional Subcommittee, we became candidates for ministry. It was a big and exciting step in the process of becoming a minister. So at the end of my first year of seminary, it was with a great deal of excitement and apprehension that I went before the New England Regional Subcommittee. And guess what happened? I didn't pass. After my interview, they called me into a room, and picture this, I sat once again in that room filled with about eight people, and they told me what they thought I needed to do to become a minister. They said a lot of things that day, including that they thought my therapist wasn't doing me any good and I needed to get a new one so that I could better integrate my life experiences into my ministerial formation. I was shocked that the committee could be so bold and say such things to me. And I was devastated. I had felt my call to ministry so clearly and strongly, and I was heartbroken to hear that I had more work to do, and I needed to come back to the committee again next year. I left the building, and I sat on a bench on Boston Common and wept and called my mom. I was grief-stricken. I felt that the committee had an image in mind of who I needed to grow into, but I couldn't see that image, and I didn't know how I could grow into something that I couldn't see or even imagine. I was filled with uncertainty. In some ways, all of our lives are filled with uncertainty. We never know for sure what will happen tomorrow, or later today, or even in a few minutes from now. Most of the time, we don't think about that uncertainty all that much. And there are other times when our lives are filled with uncertainty, maybe even rich with uncertainty. There are times when we might feel like the air is pregnant with uncertainty. Like the seeds we planted just a few minutes ago, and many of you will plant later today or later this week, we don't always know what it is that we are growing exactly. We might have an idea, like that we are growing some kind of plant, or that we are growing as a human, or growing into a better minister, but we don't always know what that looks like exactly. These times, these potentially rich times of uncertainty, are times when we can grow as individuals, as families, and as a church community, if we embrace them. If we embrace uncertainty and allow the growth, as difficult as it may be, to happen, we can find joy even in the midst of grief. So back to that scene on Boston Common. What happened? Well, I did a lot of thinking, a lot of grieving, and a lot of processing. I thought about all the ministers I knew who I respected and admired, affirmed to myself that my call was clear and true, and decided to embrace the process even though I didn't understand it and couldn't see the outcome. I did all of the things that committee asked of me. I took an extended unit of CPE, that's clinical pastoral education. I continued my seminary studies. I took a job working in a church as an interim DRE, director of religious education. I took care of myself and my health. I got diagnosed and treated for an autoimmune disorder. And I got a new therapist who worked with me, one group in particular in the church will be happy to know, by using the Enneagram as a model for personal and spiritual growth. And guess what? The committee was right. I had needed a new therapist. I had needed all the things that they prescribed. As horrible and devastating and grief-filled as the experience was, it was also a time of great growth, great joy, and great love. And I am filled with gratitude for that committee and that person who, with great courage, spoke the truth, the hard truth, to me in love. So the next year, I returned to the regional subcommittee and passed into candidate status. And later, went to see the MFC, the Ministerial Fellowship Committee, and passed with the highest ranking, which never would have happened had one person not had the, I could think of another word, courage to say to me, you need a new therapist. So instead of being devastated, I was filled with joy. There have been and are and will continue to be times in my life that are rich with uncertainty, as is true with all of you and of this church. This church has been filled with uncertainty for several years now. You went through a pandemic and began recovering, only to find that your senior minister needed to retire for devastating medical reasons. You've called and settled one awesome co-lead minister, only to hear that his husband has now entered hospice, and you're approaching the end of your second year with interim ministry, and you will have another one next year. This church is rich with uncertainty and grief. It is also pregnant with great joy and new life. May you, may we all embrace the gift of uncertainty and in the midst of grief give birth to new energy, new joy, new hope, new life, and new love. For you are held in love. Every single one of you, not only by me and Rev Chris, but a wider community of UU ministers and UU congregations, and, dare I say, whatever it is that is out there that is holy. Have faith, dear ones, have faith. As Julian of Norwich has said and Rev Meg has sung many times, all will be well, all manner of things shall be well. And as the Beatles have also said, it'll be all right. Amen and blessed be.
Please join me in our words for extinguishing the chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we hold in our hearts until we are together again.
In times of uncertainty and grief,
may you always be open to
new growth, new joy, new love.
Go in peace, knowing you are loved.
Amen and blessed be.
This is a production of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, go to our website at austinuu.org.